There is a consent form that I'm going to send you after the interview. It's like not a big deal at all. It just says that we can use your interview in the project that we're working on.
Sounds great.
Okay. So if you want, we could just go ahead and jump right into the questions.
All right. Sounds good.
So when did you work at the University Writing Center?
I want to say it was 1999 and 2000 would be around in there somewhere.
And were you an MA or a PhD student?
I was a PhD.
So what positions did you hold and what kind of responsibilities went along with those?
So I was considered an assistant director. At least that's the title I thought I had and have been putting it on my Vita all this time. So if I wasn't, it would be a good thing to know. There were about four or five of us that were considered assistant directors at the time. And we split our time, our graduate teaching assistantship. So we would teach one class and then work in the writing center the rest of the time. So part of that time in the writing center, we kind of helped train some of the MA students who were working there. We worked with them. We might supervise a group of students, mentor them as they were working there, working with their own clients. Sometimes we worked with clients. There were times in which we had more clients come in for help at the writing center than we had people to staff it. So we did that. I did some workshops for students, how to write a letter to get into grad school, how to write a teaching philosophy, how to, you know, some of those kinds of things. I, based on my own PhD work and my dissertation topic, I tended to focus mine in things like how to write a letter to get into med school, because I was doing some medical rhetoric stuff. How to write a letter to get into grad school, how to write a letter to get into med school, dental school. I don't think I did one for how to get into law school. I think someone else did that, but we kind of tended to choose topics that suited our research interests. And Carol Mattingly was the Writing Center director at the time, Dr. Mattingly. And so that had just gotten started. Mm-hmm. So we worked with Carol quite a bit. And it had, at that time, we were putting the Writing Center into the library. So there were in, I think, the second floor of the library. There was quite a bit of talk, just planning, thinking through logistics, all of that kind of stuff. How were we going to decorate it? I remember suggesting that we have kind of an art competition. And so I think Dr. Mattingly contacted the art school and they asked some of their students to kind of have a little competition, and they did some artwork for our space. Just a lot of, like, if we put computers here, what does that mean for people moving around the room? Kind of spatial design kind of thing. But we had a great time doing it. Loved it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wonder if some of that art is still at U of L. That's really cool.
I don't know. It's been so long. Like, about 2 years ago, I went back into the building and was doing a little bit of work there, but I didn't go up to the writing center. So
they've completely changed it now. Now the writing center is on the first floor. Like, whenever you first walk in, on the side that's like not by the museum, the side that's like on campus. Whenever you walk in, it's like right on the left. There's like, it's like glass. It's like all glassed in. It's awesome.
Oh, good.
Do you remember how many other tutors there were? And if you were called like tutors?
Yes. So I don't remember exactly, but I think there were about a dozen tutors. So, and we did call them tutors.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So how were you trained to be like a writing tutor?
The writing tutors at the time, they were typically MA students. And most of them signed up to take a writing center class with Dr. Mattingly. And so at the time, they were typically incoming graduate level students, and we worked with them. So they took a writing center class on writing center theory and practice. They did a practicum working in the writing center. We kind of broke them down into groups, and each one of the assistant directors took a group and like three or four students, and we kind of mentored them. And we talked about, we don't write people's papers for them. We help them develop their writing skills. We explain things. We ask them to do the actual marking on their paper, the revising. Well, if you did it this way, what would that, like, think about combining these two sentences, what would that sound like? Those kinds of things. So for the tutors, they had both the class and then the kind of hands-on training, sitting there, watching them, working with them. Most of them were quite capable. I mean, the actual, like, the training wasn't like training kind of thing. It was just like, here's how it works, you know, give it a try. Go sit down, you know, it's only 45 minutes. You're not going to, you know, mm-hmm. what's the worst that can happen, you know, kind of thing. And then we would do a little debriefing afterwards. So, gotcha. You know.
Gotcha. So what was like the structure of the program at that time?
Of the graduate program or the Writing Center
program? The Writing Center program.
I don't know that we had a program per se. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of come if you wanted to work in it and get the assistantship for working there, you just kind of signed up. And it was take a class, do the practicum, and continue working there. So aside from that, I wouldn't say that it was a broad scale program.
Gotcha. Gotcha. What population of students did you work with?
We worked with it was open to all students on campus at the time. So, I know that there are writing centers that are only open for first year students or writing centers that are only open for, students in, 101, say, you know, writing 101 or some of those kinds of things. And, various institutions will make those choices based on who they have as staff, how many staff they have, how many students they have, the kinds of just funding they have. Mm-hmm. But we were open for everybody. So I know we had international students coming in, ESL students coming in, graduate students came in. So we often worked with people on their thesis for their master's degree. We had a lot of first year students. We had a lot of like junior, senior level undergrads. Mm-hmm. I remember working with a PhD student in, he was Chinese, a native Chinese speaker, and his English speaking skills were pretty good. It was just he needed a lot of help with things that just take an enormous amount of time in practice, like articles. When do you put the and when do you put and when do you leave no article? Mm-hmm. And he just had a running appointment like three times a week. He would come in and he was a PhD student. So but we had a lot of ESL students, a lot of non-native English speakers, and graduate students. It just ran the whole gamut.
Gotcha. So what were some of the most rewarding parts about working with writers? And then what were some of the more challenging parts of it?
Some of the working with the writers or working with the tutors?
Working with writers.
Okay. So working with writers, some of the most rewarding times are when they turned around and said, thank you. Thank you so much. This really helped. I think I got it now. Or, oh, you know, when you can see that light bulb go on, you mm-hmm. know, and they're like, oh, that's it. I always thought it was something way different, you know, and you're like, no, I'm pretty sure it's just this. So when they say thank you, when you see that light bulb go on, when you hear them say, I got it, I think I can do this, that's truly rewarding. Hardly ever did somebody come back at, you know, 3 weeks later and said, hey, I got an A on that paper. You know, they almost always came with a need. So they hardly ever came back and said that. But if they ever left and you thought, I think they got it. Mm-hmm. And that was rewarding. The challenge for me, there was two challenges. One was feeling like I wasn't good enough. The sense that I didn't know enough about the English language. I didn't know enough about writing. I knew what it meant to write well myself, but I didn't always know what to call things. Mm-hmm. Going into it, I had this feeling like I wasn't good enough. I didn't know if I could do it. That after you do it a few weeks, after you do it a few times, you're like, I got this. Like, it's okay. You know, if you make a mistake, ask someone else. If you're, you know, there was always multiple tutors there. So, you know, if you're like, hey, Jill, I don't know what you call this, but I think, you know, there was always someone there you could ask for backup. Mm-hmm. So that kind of relieved a lot of my anxiety. The other challenge sometimes was just patience. Was just this sense of just sitting there for long periods of time, kind of just hoping that your client would get it, you know, mm-hmm. and then you explain it once, you hope they get it, you can tell they didn't, so then you got to try to think of a different way to explain it, and you watch them, they're still not getting it, so then you got to think of a third way to try to get it to them. So just this patience, both with them as people and as learners, and with yourself too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So how did you approach sessions and like working with writers? And are those strategies that you learned like at the Writing Center? And do you still use those kinds of strategies today?
Okay. So how did I approach it? So the biggest approach for me, the biggest thing I had to maintain and think about was this was their writing. This was their product. These were their skills. The whole approach is to help them develop as writers and, you know, help them figure out how they can improve or develop or grow or strengthen or toss away or whatever they need to do with their writing. But it, you know, because I think I had a tendency to just want to step in and say, oh, well, just do it like that, you know? And so I had to constantly remind myself, let them do it. I learned that in the Writing Center, as well as prior to working in the Writing Center, I learned working with, just as a composition instructor and, throughout my comp theory classes and whatnot, like you have to let people do it themselves. Do I do that now? Yeah. I still, if we are working on a piece of technology and I know better, I still have a tendency to take the keyboard away from someone and say, okay, let me just, I'll just type in your password. Again, it's that patience. It's trying to have patience with where they are as learners and as writers.
What types of issues in writing did students usually ask about? Do you remember?
A lot of it was trying to explain the assignments to them. So they would come in and they'd say, my teacher says I'm supposed to write an 8-page paper or a 5-page paper. And I'm like, okay, so what kind of paper? And it would vary a lot. They don't care. They just want everybody in their biology class to write this paper. And I'm like, okay, well, let's think about what that can mean. Did they give you any examples to look at? Let's pull up the assignment. So the biggest thing was trying to get students they're like, just tell me what my teacher wants, kind of thing. They didn't say it exactly like that, but it was trying to get them to figure out what the teacher wanted. So that was a big thing. The other thing was just invention. Like even when I could explain to them, this is what your assignment wants you to do. And they're like, I'm like, well, what topic are you thinking about? Well, I'm thinking about rainforests. Well, how do you like, let's plan that out. Let's think that through. So a lot of that was invention and even kind of just pre-invention, just preparation.
Sure. With that, like what do you think that the Writing Center did to effectively teach writing at the time? What do you think that the Writing Center did effectively?
I had a great time working in there. And so like my first reaction is I think we did a lot of things effectively because I had such a great time working there. I'm not sure that those two connect logically. So I really do think, like, I think we were very effective. Like we had students come back, you know, the next semester or come back the next assignment. And they were like, I had a lot of help that last time. Must be doing something right, you know? So that is both, I think, a good thing and not necessarily a good thing. Like if we really were great at it, they wouldn't need to come back. But like writing is a complex skill and it takes a lot of practice. And every time you're right in a new field with a new topic or a new genre, you're going to have to learn a lot of new things again. And so I think the idea that people would come back, clients would come back, really told us that we were doing a good job.
Yeah. What do you remember about the tutoring space? Like how it was all arranged?
It was big. We had one wall of windows. The rest of it were walls. It was a big, big room. I think we had about 15 computers there. Most of the computers were on the exterior walls. And then I think we had, four tables, kind of round tables, I think, I might be wrong on that, where we would sit down and work with people if they had a hard copy. Or they could work individually. They could just come in and work on a computer. So it's kind of an open computer lab. They could work there. We could work with them at the table and then say, okay, now go over to the computer and work at it for a while. I'll come back and we'll check back in and say 20 minutes and see how you're doing on that introduction or conclusion or whatever. I remember it as being a big, open, bright, space with the computers on the outside and about four tables in the interior part of that room.
Gotcha. So there weren't any like tutor offices. It was all just in this one big space.
There was an office with a seminar table and I think about three or four computers in there. And that is where we met with the tutors. So if we worked with tutors and I'm like, okay, let's sit down and talk about how'd your week go? You know, what kind of challenges did you have? Did you have any problems with students? Anybody irate? You know, anybody getting burned out? So that was the place where we worked with the tutors.
Gotcha.
And then Carol Mattingly and, oh Lord, I cannot remember her name. There was a kind of like a director in who managed like a staff director kind of. She managed the day-to-day operations of it. She kind of did the budget and stuff. Worked with Carol a lot, but Carol did the pedagogy and she did a lot more of the kind of logistics and the budget and whatnot. And I cannot remember her name. Diane something, but anyhow, it's been a long time ago.
Do you remember what you and the other tutors would do in your downtime while you were waiting for appointments?
We did a lot of gossiping. We did a lot of just chatting. Some of them we were talking. Many of them had not yet taught a composition course and they were excited about getting to do that. I had taught a lot of composition by that point. And so we would talk a lot about what does it mean to be a composition teacher and design your own class plans and design your own lessons and these kinds of things. So we did a lot of that. There was at the time there was a little bit of web surfing, but that was even like that really wasn't a big thing even then. But I don't know. Gotcha. We talk, you know, personal lives and stuff like that.
Gotcha. So did your work in the University Writing Center connect you to your teaching coursework or scholarship at the time?
No, not really.
No.
So I really didn't do much scholarship in or reading or prepare to be a Writing Center director. There were people who did. There were other assistant directors who were like, I want to make Writing Center, like that's my niche. That's what I want to go out and do. And they did. They did research work on it. One of them helped Dr. Mattingly set up a database kind of thing, worked with other writing centers in the region, things like that. So some people did. I did not. And when I took my first job outside of after I graduated with my PhD, that institution didn't have a writing center, and so I didn't ever do any writing center work after that.
Gotcha.
I helped write a proposal for a writing center, which eventually was instituted at that institution, but I didn't have to do any of that. Aside from helping write the proposal and trying to get funding for it, that was the extent.
Gotcha. So this kind of goes along with that, but like, did your work at the Writing Center influence your teaching or scholarship or administration since you left U of L?
Yeah, I think it did. Like, it really helped working with those tutors, working with a small group like that. I developed a good solid rapport with a lot of the tutors. I had them over to my house we had a barbecue one night at the end of the school year.
Wow, imagine doing that now.
Yeah, and I live way outside of Louisville. Like, it was a trek, you know, and they're like, it's a 3-day retreat. I had some of those skills already. So it wasn't like having to work with people in the Writing Center was my first time ever. Some of that stuff was already there, but it did kind of help hone and polish those skills. It did kind of, and then also working with students one-on-one. As a composition teacher, you don't really do that very much. You have the class, you might do one-on-one conferences during the semester, you know, spend a week or two doing that. But for the most part, you teach the class. But then working in a writing center, you really work with students one-on-one. You get to see them as individual writers and see their skills and their growth, or their lack of growth, or whatever, you know, their development as writers and as individuals. And that was rewarding, as well as it also helped. It helps me remember when I teach my own comp classes, they're all individuals. Like, mm-hmm. Someone, they've all learned their rules of capitalization differently, you know. Mm-hmm. Even working with graduate students, I'm like, what is your rule for capitalization? And they're like, I didn't know I had one. I'm like, okay, well, let's look at this, you know. And so it kind of, yeah, I mean, it was about 2 years. It really helped kind of hone my skills.
Gotcha. Who were the administrative staff when you worked at the Writing Center? Do you remember who, like, the director, associate director, administrative assistants were?
Carol Mattingly, and then Diane, whose last name I cannot remember.
Okay, gotcha. How did the Writing Center change during your time while working there?
The starting working there was the big change. So prior to that time, the Writing Center was in a basement of the Humanities Building. And it was a dank and dark little hole. Dr. Mattingly started. She's like, we need to do something different with the Writing Center. We need a Writing Center class. We need a pedagogy class and theory class, a practicum. And so then we were like, instead of making it because people saw it as being only for English students, only for people who needed help writing their English papers. And she's like, nope, we're open. We're going to take it to where the students are. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to take this Writing Center to where the students are working. Let's put it in the library, because that's where most people are writing their papers. That's where most people are researching. We're taking it to the students. So that in itself, building that place, getting the permits, getting the permission, having it done, making sure everything was paid, like, that was all on Carol Mattingly and Dr. Journay, and a few other people involved in the administration of the English department. That was huge. Like, it was a huge, huge, huge event. So just getting that going, seeing that through, was a huge change in and of itself. Once we got it going, then tweaking things. Oh, well, this isn't working. Okay, well, we need to move the computers over here. It's clearly not working. Oh, we can't have computers in the middle of the room because people are tripping over the cords. You know, all that kind of stuff. So it was mostly tweaking, but we didn't really want to make any big changes after the big, you know.
Yeah.
After the big boom, that was enough for a while.
Gotcha. So what technology was available to be used at the Writing Center?
MS Word.
Was that about it at the time?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's pretty
gotcha.
Much about it. I think there was a little bit of web surfing, but not a lot.
Okay. Gotcha.
I don't even think that we didn't even have like a classroom. We didn't even have a learning management software like you might have now, Blackboard, or mm-hmm. Seems like we were just getting started in one. But for the most part, most classes didn't use any of that. So it wasn't like at the time you could say, okay, well, let's just pull up your class and see what your teacher has online. Like, that stuff just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So how did students sign up for appointments? Did they just walk in?
There were some walk-ins. We frequently throughout the semester, we were open enough that people could just walk in. They could walk in and sign up. You know, they're like, I just want to make an appointment for next week. Many of them would come in for an appointment and then make several other returning appointments. They could call. That's about it. I don't remember if we had a website where they could sign up. I don't think we did at the time. Yeah.
Okay. What other work did you do for the Writing Center? Like class presentations or workshops or creating handouts?
I did that stuff. Yeah. So, like I talked about doing workshops for how to write a letter to get into grad school, how to write your teaching philosophy, for grad school. So we did a lot of that kind of thing. And yeah, I did some handouts and workshops, seems like I did some workshops for, people who were going to be composition teachers. I can't remember if that was part of the Writing Center work or part of my work as an assistant director of comp. I know I did some, I just don't remember where they fit in that chronology. But we did a lot of that.
Cool. Do you have any copies of like any photos or documents you would be willing to share with us?
Lord. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to send you the clay and stylus. you know, it's like so long ago. I don't think I have any of that stuff.
Okay.
I know I did for a long time. Because when I went to my first job, like I still continued to offer some of these workshops. And I became a director of composition. And so when I worked with some of my teachers of composition, I was like, hey, here's some handouts that I did as a Writing Center, working in the Writing Center or something. So I had some of those for a long time, but it has been so long ago.
Yeah, understandable.
Honestly, like the technology that I developed those things in are gone.
Yeah.
We're talking real floppy drives.
Is there anything else you remember that you think is important that I didn't ask you about?
Carol Mattingly was great to work with. She really was. She was so kind, very smart, very patient with all of us. Looking back on it now, like I really liked working with her at the time. She was really generous with her time. And she did a lot of mentoring for the grad students that went beyond work in my Writing Center, you know, kind of thing. So she did a lot of that. She helped a lot of grad students go to conferences, help them prepare and present at conferences. When I look back on it and I'm like, I don't know how she had the time to do that kind of mentoring and helping just any grad student, as well as managing the work of the Writing Center, plus her teaching and her own research. I remember sitting there in the Writing Center and talking to her about her research and stuff and different things that she was excited about. And just, it was great working with her.
So. That's so nice. I think that's all of my questions that I have for you. I'm Chuck, by the way. I'm sorry I didn't introduce myself.
I assumed you were. It's great to meet you. For the most part, really enjoyed my time at U of L, but I was there for forever. Mm-hmm. I was there for most of the previous millennia. I was finishing up my PhD work when Bronwyn Williams was just coming in. I was just there for the longest period of time, but I really liked it. And I guess that's why I kept hanging around. taking more classes until like they were like, we don't have any more.
So how long were you at U of L?
I did all three of my degrees there.
Wow.
So I did my undergrad degree there, and I really focused on literature at the time. And then towards the end of my undergrad, I did one kind of rhetoric course with Dr. Billingsley.
I love Dr. Billingsley.
He was a great teacher.
He's amazing.
He really is. Like, if you ever see him again, tell him I said hello. But even now, like when I'm teaching a class, I'm like, well, I learned this and this and this about Edinburgh. And, you know, because he was always telling us these great stories. And now, like, I tell my students this, you know, stuff about the Renaissance and like it's the gospel truth. And I'm like, I know I'm only quoting Dr. Billingsley, and I hope to God he's right. Because if he's ever wrong, I'm wrong. Anyhow, and so I took this class and I loved it so much. And I said, you know, I love this rhetoric stuff. And he's like, well, you should consider, you know, joining our grad program. We have a grad program in Rec Comp. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. So I applied and I got in and I got a teaching assistantship and immediately fell in love with teaching. I was like, this is great. Like, this is as much fun as snipping glue. I think never sniffed glue, but I have taught, and it was a lot of fun. And then I just kind of carried that in, and then I was like, I want to keep doing this. So I applied for the PhD program, and they let me in, and I eventually finished.
That's awesome.
So from like 86, I think I started my undergrad in 86, and I graduated with my PhD in 2001.
Wow. So are you from like the Louisville area?
Not originally, but I was living at the Louisville area. So gotcha. I started my undergrad work because Louisville was the closest place and I wanted to go to college. Mm-hmm. I was a mom, I was married, I had three very young kids at the time. And I was just like, I don't want to keep doing this. I want to get a job and I want to go to college and I want to learn stuff. So I went to U of L for that. When it came time to kind of apply for graduate schools, there was no opportunity for me to move. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, you should apply elsewhere. And I'm like, I can't move. Like, we just can't. I would have to uproot a whole family. So I was lucky in that I could stay. Mm-hmm. And do that. And I think they were generous. I think the admissions committee, they were like, let's give her a chance more than, oh, we got to have her, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyhow, but I'm very grateful for that. So anyhow,